I went to the thrift store today. Have you seen Dylan? If I say I've been to the thrift store today, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I commented on it.
Oh, did you? I didn't see the comment, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I found this is for the watchers of the video.
Yeah.
I found this. This fan art of both male and female Hawk from Dragon Age 2. In a Value Village.
Absolutely amazing.
$10, just called wall art. That's
absolutely incredible. I didn't catch the title.
I immediately bought it because obviously this fucking rules, and it's a sign that I should replay Dragon Age 2.
Age 2, yeah.
God spoke through Value Village as I was picking up some gear. By gear, I mean I was looking at Value Village. I saw a very hideous Winnie the Pooh.
Sure.
It's pretty gross. Found that. I bought a very nice jumper, which is drying at the minute because I just hand washed it. But you'll see pictures tomorrow. The jumper's very nice. And I bought a gift for Abby because I'm going to Abby's house tomorrow for her birthday.
Beautiful.
But that is to say, I've been getting texts from Dylan over the past week and a half because we kind of preloaded our Veilguard play, considering we were able to record episode one immediately after our Trespasser episode. So then we had 2 weeks to finish Act One, which we did about a week and a half into. So we had like half a week before we needed, and then we've had a week and a half to do this. Over the past week and a half, I have gotten several messages from Dylan saying how pissed off they are and how much they hate this game. I don't like the game at all, but I don't think I'm as pissed off as Dylan. I just simply think this game is really bad, and that's about as far as I get. I haven't been waiting for it for a decade. There are missions that I really liked.
Great. I can't wait to hear about them.
Yeah.
And I must not have done them. Because nothing in this game is enjoyable. And I'm tired of being fucking gaslit, Reddit. The only reason to dislike this game is not because you are transphobic. That's not the fucking only reason. In fact, this game is transphobic.
This game worrying.
Is Islamophobic. This game is fucking racist. And look, I'm going to be honest. Dragon Age as a series has had problems in the past. I think that collectively, we all kind of thought that over the last decade, they would have found a way to make continuous improvements to the story that would have aided in repairing those things. Just like the games have traditionally done. The games have, as they've come out, they've added more queer rep and more people of color and more cultural differences and things like that. So, like, I think that we all kind of expected that in following in that trend plus a decade, we would have seen a little bit more of an improvement in those things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally so pissed. And this is also, we're recording on the heels of Trick Weeks and Karen Weeks getting fired, along with almost all the other...
pretty much every single...
everybody on the Dragon Age team. BioWare has said goodbye, Dragon Age. This is the farewell of Dragon Age as a series from here. Not to say I actually think that this is the end of Dragon Age as a series. I do not. I actually think that what is happening now is what has happened to Dungeons and Dragons. It's what's happened to every major like IP. Dungeons and Dragons, I don't know if you have heard of it, but like Dungeons and Dragons, the role-playing game, is now like becoming an IP that like just licenses things like the D&D movie was a like huge deal. And like, do I think that Dungeons and Dragons is going to continue to innovate new game? No. I think Dungeons and Dragons is going to come out with new content for sure. And I think that they're going to license new content for sure. Do I think Dungeons and Dragons, the game, is ever going to improve as a game or become more interesting or have more updates or anything like that? No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And that is where I feel we are at with Dragon Age now. I do know that they're still going to make stuff. They're still going to put stuff out there. And this is like the, this is, this game is, do you know what? Do you know what? My nephew is 4. Great kid.
Mm-hmm.
He loves Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But let me explain. Because what he means when he says he loves Spider-Man is that he watches a show where Spider-Man and all of Spider-Man's friends are little babies, and they go around solving mysteries. They have big giant heads, but they do wear the Spider-Man masks. Yeah. And like, the characters are there. Sandman's in there. He's mostly a good guy, but sometimes he's just misguided, and you gotta convince him that he's mm-hmm. doing the wrong thing, and then he does the right thing. Anyway. But he still will come to you and be like, I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man's the best. That's what, from now on, when people say they love Dragon Age, I'm going to assume they mean the giant-headed big baby Dragon Age. the fucking Cartoon Network installment of Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Dragon Age Go.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that, because you know what? And I'm going to do this. I'm going to speak defensively because you're all vultures and you're evil. And I dislike making content. So the thing is that, speaking defensively, obviously, all of the games had tongue-in-cheek humor, and all of the games had sarcasm, and all. This is not that. I need you to stop. This is bad. It's a bad game. It's insulting. It's insulting how they write queer characters. It's insulting that you can't actually be a queer character.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You actually can't. You can be non-binary, but I actually want to rephrase that. You can be no binary. You can be you can be you can be but you cannot be fucking trans. You cannot be queer. And none of the characters are, and every trans person you meet is a baby who can't function in the world. I met a gray warden who's just like, I became a gray warden and I'm non-binary, so instead of being a gray warden, I met a gray warden who had confessed to me that they were non-binary, and then they were like, I did the joining ritual to survive. I don't want to be a Grey Warden. I don't want to fight Darkspawn. I'm just going to stay here. Don't tell anyone that I'm that I'm a Grey Warden. And I was just like, I guess. Because there's no option to be like, that's fucked up. There was no option to be like, oh, that's like one of the most important bestowments in the world, but fine. But it also doesn't matter because the Grey Wardens aren't Grey Wardens in this anymore.
They're just people. They're knights. They're just
like
now.
Just like the Antiven Crows. They're just actual heroes. They're just heroes. They're just good guys. They're not complicated assassins. They're not anything. No one is anything. Nothing is happening. And we've got now all of like the legacy writers are gone. All of the devs are gone. And like, I need you to know that this is not their fault. This is so obvious. This is so obvious because in 2017, we almost had a Dragon Age game. We almost had it. And everybody working on it, every writer was excited because it was the vision. It was the vision of the sequel that they were planning. And that got kiboshed. And now...
No, I didn't know that.
Years later, now, this happens. No one is excited. People are defensive of this game in a backlash of the bigotry that's complaining about it. But like, my gosh, you have Tosh, who, I mean, we've had the Kuhn as a part of this series since day one. So like a lot of things have been new or they've been added in later series. The Kuhn we've had as a concept since day one, and it's evolved in every game, lore-wise and story-wise. And there has always been some... God, I'm so sorry, Robin. I'm fucking ranting.
Do it. No, do it.
The Kuhn has often been like a sort of weird sore spot where... You can almost sense like some, what is the word I'm looking for? Some like allusions to Islam and like, and that area of the world when the game is talking about the Kuhn in a / negative way. And that's always been a criticism, but it's never been so outright. This game had actually so many opportunities. I keep like expecting them to do something that will surprise me and be like, and be a good development. But they've doubled down on strengthening the metaphor of the Kuhn to Islam, because now we've seen how Tosh prays and they've drawn a direct allusion to that. And they've doubled down on the Kuhn being unaccepting of queer people, which is something that was one of the few positive things that we knew about Qunari culture in the last game was that actually, no, they didn't. They had a chance to further develop this culture into making it something complicated and problematic, but in a human flawed way. And they've doubled down on it to make it a caricature, and they've made it more offensive, in my opinion, in doing so. And in making every queer character a fucking like blank slate, nothing, like where queerness, we had this whole, I just had this whole adventure where Tosh is like, my mom's not accepting of me. We go to see their mom and their mom is like talking about dinner and like nothing happens. And afterwards, Tosh is like, yeah, I can't tell her who I really am because she's like that. And I was like what? Nothing happened. Nothing. There's no, this game is like, it's talking about things, but nothing's actually happening. And it's like, Can you not feel the straight people in the room looking at this and like, and like, I just, it's just so infuriating. And especially, I'm so especially mad because in the climate that we're in right now, I actually have been stewing about something we talked about last episode where you were like, I am so forgiving that AAA titles are, you know, often do babies first. And I did, I agreed with you. And now I've thought about it and I am so, I'm so sick of this. Like it's, like I'm sick of it in terms of like the culture at large because we tiptoe around so much so often and they just the culture war just keeps winning over us no matter what we do every time, and we just try to be as polite and as sweet and as pure and as sweet as possible, and we lose and we lose and we lose. And Dragon Age, in particular, as a series, has been kept alive by a primarily queer trans audience. In Inquisition, they introduced the first trans character, canonically trans character to the series, put him in the video game and had characters say, like, no, you're a real man. They immediately after wrote comic books and books that featured a trans woman character who canonically worked with a Desi-inspired gay man character to overthrow an oppressive government and put an end to slavery. Those are plot lines that have canonically happened in the Dragon Age universe 10 years ago. We should be forward from that, not backwards into like watching characters that need to ask to borrow $10 so that they can order a pizza while mom's out of the house. This is crazy. I'm out of my mind. Fucking, we're falling to fascism, and I'm not kidding. This is, to me, a symptom that we're viewing in real life. And I know that sounds fucking dramatic because it's a video game, but media is reflective of what is fucking going on. And the fact that this game is written like I'm an idiot child who can't figure out what the fuck is going on is driving me crazy. And it's driving me crazy that like a game that should be able to do better because the writers on it are so full of fucking talent. They're overflowing with it. And they're overflowing with love for the characters and love for this series. And I'm not an idiot. I can tell when it's an overlord's influence. And I can fucking tell when it's a corporation turning a story into content. This is an AI TikTok video of Dragon Age is what it is. This is fucking gross and bad, and I hate it, and I don't know even what else to say except that I'm mad. And insulted, and I feel that queer people deserve better, and I feel like we deserve better stories, and I am just so sad for media and society, and the world is making me mad. Oh my god. Okay, I should. Robin, hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, but I don't know what you're talking about, because hi, my name's Robin. I've never played a Dragon Age game before. And who are you, Dylan?
That's not true at all. I played all three Dragon Age games.
I've played all three Dragon Age games.
Hi, my name is Dylan. I've played all three Dragon Age games. And now we're playing the Dragon Age supplemental content game, the Veil Guard.
We're playing a beast that has stolen Dragon Age's face, and we're looking at it, and it's and everyone's saying, this is Dragon Age, and it's saying, I'm Dragon Age, but we're like, something's off with this guy.
It's saying, they keep saying terminology in a weird way. Like, you brought this up about the Griffin thing, and I was a little hand-wavy about the Griffin thing, because I was like, I find what you find annoying in that, but I was like, all right, like, maybe they're just, I don't know.
Sure,
I'm
just throwing punches randomly.
But also, I feel like they've also called them Griffins a lot. They just that one time said the...
It's not one time, actually, they say it a few more times.
They do say it a few more times.
In Act 2, they say it a bunch, and it still annoys me. Yeah.
It didn't initially bother me, but now I've noticed it in like everything. They keep saying the elven gods, the gods, the elven gods, our gods, our people's gods. The Evanuris is a name that we've known the whole time.
Yeah.
You can say that.
It's a big thing with this game is that, so... What I have done, I've moved, evidently, which is why I'm not in the same place. And I am playing Dragon Age in the front room. The two people who also work from home with me, so when I'm playing, they just walk in and they see it, are big, big Dragon Age fans. Sid has been doing, just played all of the Dragon Ages a million times. Kai has also played all the Dragon Age a million times. Very recently, actually, because of Darkspawn, played all of them on Nightmare difficulty and was like, this is the best.
Kai did?
Yeah.
That's so hot of Kai. That's great.
Yeah, they said that the Flemeth fight took them half the run time of their run.
That's a hard fight on casual. That's a fucking hard fight on casual.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And they didn't play all of them. They skipped 2 because they were like, I love the story of 2, but I can't play that combat on Nightmare because it's just too much and I don't like it. But then they did Inquisition on Nightmare as well.
Inquisition on Nightmare is also really hard.
It's pretty fucking tough.
The Samson fight.
However, when they were coming in and they were like, how's the game? Kai's actually played, started 3 different runs with 3 different classes because they were like, this class actually just doesn't feel good, and then changed classes and were like, this doesn't feel good, and has only gotten a little bit into the game and then is like, I'm actually not going to play this anymore. Kai bought a new PC to play the Veil Guard, started it, played the opening like 5 hours with 3 different classes and was like, this sucks, and then stopped playing. But whenever asked about it, I said, this game feels like Rook is someone from Earth who has been pulled into the Dragon Age universe, and that's the story. It's like people keep referring to things as Earth terms. They keep saying, this is a griffin, which is
today,
a half eagle, half lion.
They said, they're going to kill that, they're going to sacrifice that elf deer, is what they said.
Elf deer made me want to freak out.
Actually, pause the game.
Elf deer, another thing which stressed me out in terms of that, it was minor, but I did get a little rumbled by it, is it was a Davrin mission, and we were looking for a Hela, right? It's a Hela is what they're called?
Hala, yeah.
Hala. Darren said, maybe Asan just likes venison. And I was like, venison is deer meat. You would have a different name for it. And here's the thing. On its own, none of this matters.
Yeah.
What it is it's a symptom of them not caring about the world and not buying into the universe of Dragon Age. And when it keeps happening, the thing is that they're going to use the excuse, we just wanted new people to get involved. No, you fucking didn't. Who is Solas? What does any of this fucking mean?
Right, this is a direct sequel.
It's a direct sequel.
Who are these new people that are going to be fucking
gives a fuck? Oh, God. That's the thing. It's like, who is this Inquisitor? Why does this Inquisitor keep turning up? Who are they? And they never explain it because this is a direct sequel. It is... a microcosm of the fact that they don't care about Dragon Age, and they keep rewriting
and the
producer
they,
input.
The they being
is the corporation of the corporation. EA doesn't care. Shareholders don't care. There are some things. This is arguably the worst thing. I would rather this game 100% be dog shit rather than teasing me with interest. There are some personal quests. There are some quests in this game that I really liked. There are some personal quests that I'm super interested in. And frustratingly, they go down story paths that I desperately wanted them to go down. One which is Harding's storyline is something I've wanted for fucking ages. I love the idea of dwarven magic. How much of Harding's storyline have you done, by the way?
So the last thing I got is I go to meet her in, which is I'm getting so sick of this whole like half of my companions' quests or I have to meet them somewhere so that they can tell me something when
and
we
it's
live.
Like three lines of dialogue.
And it's three lines of dialogue and then we go back to the fucking lighthouse. I live with you in this admittedly already pretty atrocious home base.
It's that, like, really bad.
It's visually interesting, but it is a terrible home base. There's no reason for me to be here.
It's the most empty world.
It's empty. It's empty, and it's as empty as the fucking story of this game. My last thing is I went to go meet her, and she started talking to me, and then she went a little weird, and she was like, I hear them. The thing that's chasing me is...
Was this in Ravain?
The thing that's chasing me is now turning on the dwarves. Is what she said.
Good. So you... Okay. So...
Yeah. And that's the last thing.
I have a lot of notes, babe. So we got it. I want to go through a little bit of the story because we've had our rant. And then let's just get through the story now. So,
no, go for it.
I opened with the not want to be a woman conversation with Tash, which I thought was fine because it was Harding and Tash bring it up together. And it's like, I've been speaking with blah, 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 these people about this. And I just want to tell everyone that. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cute. Yeah. I like that in story. We did the same in The Animalist, so I can't comment on it. Negatively, because I did.
I got a little bit that you probably already got as well. It was like a side dialogue thing that I liked, but it also made me feel really mournful that we are not getting her actually in this game as a character. But Tosh is like, oh, I spoke to like someone else comments like, hey, did you get to talk to Maivaris? And Tosh is like, yeah, it was actually really helpful.
All about being trans.
That's great. Yeah, like, but yeah. It wasn't explicitly stated. That was like good, like background banter. It was like a breath of fresh air to hear a little bit. I am still salty that Maivaris is not like a character in this game of importance, but and that you would only know that that has any meaning if you've read comic books, which is another thing that like there's no indication that Maivaris is a trans woman in this game.
Yeah.
That's not apparent in any way, shape, or form. So that bit of dialogue means nothing to anyone who hasn't read a very specific comic.
Yeah.
But whatever. Whatever. Anyway, sorry.
I then had a coffee talk with Nevin Lucanis. I hate that Lucanis' main thing is that he loves coffee. It's beginning to stress me out because it's another kind of slightly childish thing. Davern is sad about not dying. And then Lucanis is sad about missing the final blow. Then it's Elgonon time. He's dull. He is just a guy, and I don't like that as much because Gillenane looks cool as hell, at least.
And he's like the god.
Like he's like the
Gillenane
the
is
big,
like
powerful
her
guy.
Yeah.
The blight was sealed away, apparently. Oh, is this Necropolis? Oh, no, this is current, because then I did the Necropolis Gardens with Emmerich, which yeah, I did like that quest.
I like that. That's one of my favorite.
I like that quest.
So far, yeah.
However, a thing in that quest that stressed me out, Emmerich said, have you ever been frightened by the thought of dying? And then you can respond, unfortunately, I'm a Grey Warden, and I should have been able to respond, yeah, me joining this group meant that I had a 50% chance of dying immediately, and I'm going to die in 30 years, full stop. I have a ticking time bomb in me. That would have been a really interesting thing to talk about, someone who he says, I'm scared of dying. And it's like, it's very fun that you're a guy who has kind of mastered death and is scared of dying. When you ask a Grey Warden, how do you feel about death? I should be able to respond in a Grey Warden way, which any of the other games would have let me respond in a Grey Warden
way.
They
absolutely would have. And that's also, that's the thing about this that is like the continuing feeling that Rook's not the main character of this game.
Rook is not only the main character of this game. Rook is, IMO, the worst character in all of Dragon Age. Yeah. Rook is fully dreadful. The thing that I have taken a lot of joy in, and I think that my joy of this thing has been, you know, a consistent point of our conversations, is having an idea of who my protagonist is going to be and them shifting throughout the game into someone else. And it's like, what are these major decisions doing to my character? How are they changing as people? You know, Quinton had this whole thing of, oh, I'm going to be the best Blood Mage of all time. Then went back to Ostagar after everything went wrong, and then shifted into like, oh, maybe what I'm doing is actually super fucked up and I should be better. And then falling in love with Morrigan and all this, that was a big turning point. Florence was basically a cop at the beginning and then shifted into, and it was like,
yes,
oh, it's only the people close to me that matter. And then ending in Inquisition by sacrificing herself to save everyone. Big moment for Florence. Fully the culmination of her entire arc was that. And then Inquisition was Helwyn starting being exceedingly kind and, oh, I'm just going to be good to everyone and be as nice and kind as possible, to ending Trespasser by being like, fuck being nice, I'm just going to be kind. And it's like, disbanding the Inquisition, screaming at everyone like, I'm off to save the fucking world again and stuff like that. Like, really big swings of like, this is someone who has just undergone a crazy amount of stress and is now like, you people don't deserve my niceness, but I'm going to be kind anyway. Rook physically can't change in this game because there is no important decisions. There is no important dialogue options. I wanted to start as a kind of nasty dwarf who hated all magic and then shift them into someone who is going to save everything and all of the realms and all this jazz. Unfortunately, Rook has to be the kindest person ever and always a jokey purple hawk.
And he sucks. His jokes suck. He's not funny. He's not funny. He
not funny.
Sucks.
So every many joke he makes is Watts and shit. And it's the most... So I did decide to do a romance in this because I was like, the problem is I am not attracted to any of the characters. So I, Robin, don't want to do a romance. But to get the full scope of the game, you have to dive into what they consider romance. And he's so awkward and cutesy and like... keeps stumbling over his words and, oh my god, what a quirky guy, when it's like, this isn't the guy I want, though. I want him to be like closed off and stoic and stern and not
like
really
some
have
options,
and it's just, and I pick the aggressive option, gang, 100% of the time, because it simply doesn't matter. I have had one disapproval, and that was because I said that the dead should stay dead to Emmerich. And I'm going to tell you right now, I fucking worked for that disapproval. And then I made it up 4 or 5 times over afterwards because everything I said was met with approval.
I had been romancing or like flirting with Davrin initially.
Yeah.
And Davrin like had me initially because he just seemed like the only character that was giving me anything before I met Emmerich. And then the like I was flirting and like nothing was there's nothing happening. Like you flirt and then like nothing happens. Mm. And then like this the character kind of just started to fall into this childish, like kind of innocent realm where I was just like, okay. So then I'm like, all right, Emmerich's an old man. You know what? I'll fuck an old man before I fuck a cheaply baby. So I was like, let me start flirting with Emmerich. So then after I flirted with Emmerich a bit, I then got an option from Davrin the next time we talked where he was like, hey, we've been flirting a lot. Is that like, are we doing something here or mm-hmm. whatever? And I was like, nah, we're not doing anything here. And he approved. I am not saying I need him to be a dick about it, because that's obviously silly. But like, have you ever been dumped before? Like, because like it's normal that people would be like, ah, that sucked. Like, you know, like you can just it like let some things a little.
I actually have 2 things to bring up about this that I think is interesting. In both Mass Effect 2 and Baldur's Gate 3, a thing which I think is really interesting is, admittedly, they've softened him too much, but Gale of Waterdeep is a character that everyone thought was very controversial when he was first around, because he goes really hard into you, falls really fast, and if you reject him, is kind of a dick about it. Loved that. And they've taken it away since. I thought that was awesome. A guy who just can't really take rejection and is just kind of a dick if you are like, I'm actually not interested in you. I thought it was awesome. There is a character called Jack in Mass Effect 2. One of my favorite characters in the Mass Effect franchise, full stop. If you reject her, she won't speak to you for the rest of Mass Effect. She's just pissed that you said no because it's her character. She's just a dickhead. And if you reject her, then she... just fully refuses to talk for a while. You have to like get her approval up loads by just bringing her along on a lot of missions and like doing her personal stuff, because otherwise she's a dick. Love that shit. Give me actual human reactions to putting yourself on the line and getting rejected for people who are like not like they just don't have their shit on lock. Like Gale is very emotionally compromised constantly. Jack is exceedingly closed off and just like doesn't know how to be rejected or how to make human connections. That's her whole storyline. But the thing is that in the Veilguard, everyone is exceedingly competent. The only thing wrong with them is that they have like Tumblr anxiety, and that's about it. Anyway,
they're competent in their skills.
But they emotionally they have their shit so on lock that it doesn't matter what you say to them, that it's fine, it's water off a dog's back. They like won't respond poorly to anything. That's what I mean by competent.
Yeah.
They just like have all already been therapized. Their only thing is that they get kind of sad sometimes and have anxiety. And you gotta calm down over that.
Not even really. I would love sad. I would love some fucking emotions.
Yeah. Anyway, there are some interesting thoughts on Andraste and Faith and how it got it wrong. I don't think it's super great because I think it's a little condescending how they talk about it. Because this is like a table meeting.
It's a table meeting, yeah.
And, you know, they go through and... hate this. I thought it was interesting how they're talking about it. I did, however, find it just like a tad condescending because it felt very Earth-like in a way that I thought was odd. It feels like they're just talking about Christianity, which admittedly Andraste is, but this is a world of magic, and you know how it is. So I thought it was there's a good character decision on belief that I really liked. You can decide if your character, if your rook believes in Andraste, doesn't believe in Andraste, or believes in something else entirely. And I did like that.
I actually had an issue with that because the Andrastian belief option says continue your belief in Andraste. And I was like, I'm a fucking elf. That is weird. I have Alicelyne tattooed on my face, which none of this is ever relevant in the game whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm regularly meeting with one of my gods. I'm fighting two more of them. We're constantly discussing my religion, apparently, at our little round table roommate meetings. None of it is ever brought up. It's just not relevant.
That is actually a crazy point, which is a tiny criticism. I don't like the roommate meetings because it feels like roommate meetings. I really like the idea of everyone sat because you can kind of tell who's like, you know, kind of what their vibe is. Lucanus is standing. Harding has her like feet up on the sofa. Emmerich is like holding their staff. You are shuttered away, looking at everyone like you're an audience member and they're performing Amdram theater to them because you're not part of the team, actually.
And you're a leader, but for no reason.
For no reason
whatsoever.
But everyone loves and looks up to you. I really like that vibe. My problem is that it is cozy in a way that I think doesn't suit. It suits what they're doing with the game, but it doesn't suit the vibes of the situation.
The story. Like, you're trying to make me believe that this is serious. Like, where is the part that we feel urgent?
There's no urgency in this. Yeah. So I did Harding's mission. We went to Cal Shirok, which is the place from The Descent, right?
Yeah.
Pretty weird, I thought. I don't think it's a bad decision, but I think it is interesting how we go there and it's like a full group of people and it's all normal. And now it's just like a casual thing. They're like, oh, well, we have Cal Shirok City and we have Ozma. And I'm like, interesting. A thing which I did really like, they're talking about the Oracle and this person turns out to be Volta. Thought that fucked, actually.
Yeah, it does fuck.
Because that is the thing that I really wanted. My pitch for what I wanted this future game to be is, I think I mentioned a few times, is a war with magic dwarves now. Dwarves who have, you know, they're wanting to reclaim the Titans again.
Yeah.
So we're doing all this. So I really like the fact that Volta was in it. I just have a little note that says, cool, like this. Harding got mad at me, but then immediately stopped being mad at me, which is fine. Then I did Davern's mission with the Gloom Howler. I also liked this. I thought this was cool. I was like, oh my god, is this game gonna swing into interesting territory? We went through an old warden kind of zone. They had the bones of every archdemon that they've ever fought knocking around. The Gloom Howler was there. She was like, I'm going to blight all of the griffins, and then later you find out she's doing that because she used to be a Grey Warden and then was like forced into doing all this because of blood magic. I very, 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 very don't like Varric's closing remarks at the end of every chapter. It is really annoying. They know that people like Varric, so they have him do this, like, next time on this person's companion quest. And it's really, it just let me do it, though. Stop teasing that things are going to get interesting later and just do interesting things, please. That super, super sucks for me. The Black Emporium is back.
And it's just, in the middle of the city of Mynrathus. Interesting.
Yeah, it's just kind of a place.
It's just that a little shop. And seems really mundane and uninteresting. There's not much there, which
is sad because that's another one of the things which I've talked about. I would love more information on the Black Emporium.
We talked about that in our wishes.
And in 2 and Inquisition, the Black Emporium is the same place, run by the same ghost. And there is this like weird idea that the orphan who's running around is going to grow up and be killed, absorbed into the book, and become the next Black Emporium host. And now it's just a bunch of fun, quirky people with raven heads. Then I did Nev's mission with the Threads, which is another group. There is yet another blood mage who wants to bring Doc down to, wants to bring Tevinter to former glory. Which everyone kind of, all of the Venatori want to do that. They want to bring Tevinter back to the former glory, which is an interesting term, former glory, because as far as, admittedly, former glory is probably they want Tevinter to rule the world again. But Tevinter doesn't seem that bad at the minute. It doesn't seem like the hideous, evil town that we've talked about for 3 games at this point.
Yeah, for 3 games, everybody we've met from Tevinter, except for like a handful of people, have been like slave owning, like mwahahaha evil, like mustache curl evil, like power hungry magisters, who are only thwarted by like the resistance of a resilient few. But now it's they've decided to not address or talk about any of that, or even give us like some kind of explanation to that. They're just like, no, everybody's cool here. There are elves running around in Mynrathus.
Yeah.
And it's fine and cool.
Ignore the giant half-circle prison in the sky. We still don't know what that's about.
That's never coming up again. I'll never come up again. Peace with that. I will never know what that was supposed to be about.
Lucanus gets possessed and tried to leave. I thought that was cool. Tash is doing a Kunari ritual, which we've already discussed a little bit. Emmerich goes and meets someone at a place called Blackthorn. Emmerich resurrects a guy, and that guy says Blackthorn Manor because he's trying to find this thing to the Hand of Glory.
Yes.
Another quest that I think is pretty interesting. I like
Emmerich. No, I liked that one too.
I thought it was like cool. Harding is dreaming again. We had a cool conversation about that. Yep, because she's like, oh my god, I've never dreamed before. She's having nightmares. Do you know what sucks? I'm a dwarf who's a Grey Warden. I should have been able to say, yeah, it's crazy, right? Having dreams and your only dreams are nightmares? Horrific. And I wasn't able to do that. That's a thing that Orgrin mentions back in Origins of how hideous and creepy it is. That's a thing that if you're playing a dwarf dwarf warden, you can also bring up how freaky it is.
Yep.
Upsetting. I romanced Harding. Because I was like, fuck it. I clicked one romance option for her, but I think they logged like, hey, you haven't been romancing anyone, but you did this one romance option to Harding. They made Rook an awkward, quirky guy, which I've put, which... whatever.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Dale.
Robin, I want to show off how strong and cool my original characters are, but I simply can't keep throwing my Hero Forge minis at people.
Well, have you heard that Hero Forge has just launched 2 new types of minifigures? One of them is a color acrylic keychain that's the same size as your Hero Forge standee.
Oh, so I could just like carry it around with me and not throw it at people? Oh, I'm looking right now at their website, and they also just launched 100% stainless steel minifigures, so I could totally feel like an old school dork when I'm playing my games.
Ah, and if you throw them, it'll have more impact.
Oh, I'm going to throw them everywhere.
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad. We do not advocate throwing any minifigures.
No, not at all. None.
But we do advocate visiting heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today.
And check back often because new content is added every single week.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin, help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you, and I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Once upon a time, in a county called Sublime, there was a child lost in the woods. Our Lives in the Wood is a horror actual play series exploring the tragic lives and stories of the citizens of Sublime County, orchestrated by one of the Stranger's most devious of servants, the Writer. Witness the everyday lives of those lost within this terrible wood and glimpse the hope shining dimly in the dark. Enjoy tightly edited episodes with immersive sound design and a rotating cast of guests playing a wide variety of indie TTRPGs, brought to you by Tales Yet Told, wherever you get your podcasts.
But the romance scene itself, if I was playing an awkward, quirky guy, was very cute. I'll give it points. There was two missions, one after the other. One was gather everyone at the library table, which I did, and then immediately Harding comes in and is like, hey, we need to meet. And I was like, that's what I'm doing now. Everyone's here except for you. We're literally waiting on you. And then you have to go across the road and then meet at the cute cozy table. That annoyed me. Why do I have to have two, like, just meet here? I thought this is what we were doing. The gods have an archdemon and a dragon again. Oh, I just have gods have an archdemon and a dragon, but then the dragon is an archdemon. A thing which I thought was fun is whilst all the Grey Wardens were prepping, because now we are trapping not the Archdemon, we are trapping the Blighted Dragon.
Blighted Dragon, yeah.
That one of them has. A thing which I thought was fun, the mayor of the town right at the beginning that was hyper-blighted, because I was a Grey Warden, I inscripted him into the Grey Wardens, he was there, and we had a conversation. I was like, that's some good Dragon Aging there.
That's giving me big Dragon Age vibes, actually.
That's big Dragon Age vibes.
That's big Dragon Age vibes.
And you walk past and he's like, oh, Rook, and yells out for you. And then you turn around and you're like, oh, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm trying, I guess. And it's like, good. This is good. Good Dragon Age bit. I conscripted into the Grey Wardens. Now he's freaking out about the fact that there's a blighted dragon that he is being forced to help with.
Yeah.
Great. Love that.
Love that. That makes me happy. Okay.
Then you fight the Blighted Dragon. Then a second Blighted Dragon. Then Gillenane's Blighted Dragon turns up. This is the mission that I was like, this fucks, actually.
Oh, admittedly, interesting. I thought this was the most boorish fucking quest ever. Yeah.
The music in it, I thought was really good. I really liked the music. You fight one dragon. A second dragon turns up. I will say this. The mechanics of the game isn't built to have two dragons on the pitch at the same time.
No, because they glitch into each other at
consistently
every corner.
They have the same move set and have no care for the other dragon in. It's just like a difficulty spike in a way that's pretty uninteresting. You get both of them down to a certain level of health, and then for us, the Enteven Crows turn up because we helped them. Which it says in a giant text box in the corner.
Which it says, oh, the Enteven Crows have showed up because you helped them.
Yeah.
My God.
And then you fight them, and you fight both. Again, I think the music in this section is the only time I've been like, this music fucks, actually. This is big dragon fighting music. Pretty cool fight, and then you have a pretty cool cutscene at the end where Gilnane is like resurrecting the dragon, and you like jump onto a turret and you shoot her through the chest, and I was like, that's fucking sick. Actually, that's a cool cutscene. Algernon turns up. He looks rubbish. He's just a guy.
He's just a guy. He looks so boring.
Truly, considering that Gilnane looks like that, he should look like that too. Like, he should look crazy.
He should be epic looking, but
he should be looking really scary and like a, oh, this is a god that we're fighting. Not like, this is a guy we're fighting. Truly should take some lessons from Corypheus or take some lessons from Gilnane. Then you find out where Algernon is and what he's up to. He's sacrificing Dalish because they need Dalish blood. It turns out that's not... So you then... Then it also says that all elves are descended from spirits. What are your thoughts on that? Is that fine? Is that a thing that we already knew?
No.
No.
What? No.
All elves are descended from spirits, apparently. Solas built his body out of lyrium because Mithal begged him to. There was a big war between the Titans and the elves. The elves obviously won. Emmerich and Tarsh had an argument about corpses that was almost interesting. Threatened to be really cool because Tarsh thinks that people should stay in their bodies. Emmerich thinks otherwise. And is like, no, the body is a vessel for a spirit. It doesn't matter. And then I was like, why don't you both find common interests? And I was like, why don't we let them fight? Why can't I make a decision and be like, no, this person is... Emmerich is fucked up for doing this, which is what I wanted to say, because Rook keeps being like, I actually don't like Emmerich because I don't like the fact they're fucking with bodies because I'm already against magic. But I can't be against magic because I'm the best boy ever.
Yep.
The Dalish sacrifice quests, you pretend to be part of the cult. Pretend to be part of a cult. Then you all get kind of blood controlled, mind possessed by Algernon.
Algernon, yeah.
You then break out of it because the people around you are the best mages ever. I feel like Emmerich should have had a hand in this because necromancy, I feel like, would definitely work with getting blood controlled. However, this then put a weird perspective on all of the Venatori. Are all of the Venatori being mind controlled by Algernon? Should we have some empathy for the fact that I have a big hammer and my stagger kill is pulling a guy around and then crushing his skull into the ground? Should I feel bad about the fact I'm doing this because they are being mind controlled? Is that the story that we're hitting with? Because you were being mind controlled and Algernon didn't know that you were there, so he was surely mind controlling everyone around you, right? But was the Venatori not already on his side?
Because he was also controlling your companions, because your companions make a comment about like whatever thing he was promising them in their head and like drawing them. And we're able to resist it because Because we're, again, none of me or my companions are any stronger than anyone ever has been. We are not special. Special resistance to anything.
No. I also have thoughts on what I would do to make this combat system and the fact that your allies are just... I have a mechanics thing that would breathe into story that would make Rook the lead character. So this is my pitch. We, for this one game, abandon the class system, because we have essentially abandoned the class system. You pick warrior, rogue, or mage. All of your party members are also segmented off as warrior, rogue, mage, but because they can't fight, it's just kind of like a skills thing.
It's just additional warriors skills
can
that you have,
can detonate and apply things, which, you know, the other two classes can't, which is unfortunate, and I think the because of that, it makes it so that I don't want to bring Davrin or Tash along because we have the same applies and detonates. And you kind of still need tank, rogue, mage in the party because then you have the perfect synergy with all of that kind of sub things. My pitch is at the big fight, you should have picked a starting class in quotation marks. Solas, since he's been thrown into the Fade, should have instead not been thrown into the Fade, but thrown into you. And then you, throughout the course of the game, since no one else has health bars, you can, regardless of what you start as, you can cast magic, do weird rogue abilities, and also do warrior stuff. Because all of the things you're doing are like superhero-based things. I'm like jumping a million feet in the air and then slamming down in this big explosion. And then I think what the story should have been is, oh, the reason why it's you is because you kind of have a god spirit half living in you. So you're the leader because you're part Solas, which is why you can speak to Solas and it's only you. And all of your companions are the reason why they're just adding on to you is because weirdly, you are the most powerful person in the world right now. It has to be you to do it. And your storyline is using the Lyrium dagger, trying to figure out how to get Solas out of your body. Because I think it would be fun if you took some of Lucanus's storyline with the fact that he's possessed and put it into you. You're possessed by Solas, who still wants to tear open the Fade and like collapse all that shit. So he occasionally possesses you, and there are scenes when you are fighting yourself as Solas in like weird, like a lot of decisions are made, like how much power do you give Solas at this point when it comes to controlling your body? I just thought that would be a cool way of playing the there is no class system, and it also makes you the lead character whilst keeping the same mechanics and the same kind of story.
Ooh, there's a fun mechanical thing that could have been done there where it's just like, okay, Solas is in you. In your pursuit of information, you can either, like, you could gather information, but gathering information allows him more control over you. And like more influence over your mind and body. If you take less information from him and you talk to him less, then you remain completely free. But the figuring things out is going to be
the people that you're trying to help. Yeah. It's like you can't help them nearly as much.
But then in letting him have more control, and then it could be a, all right, you've let him have more control. Have you bonded with him? Or have you not? And so then that could give like two different like endings as to like whether how he acts towards you.
I've only played like the prologue of Cyberpunk 2077, but I do kind of know the vibes of it. Here's a spoilers for Cyberpunk 2077, by the way.
Yeah.
The storyline is that you have this, like, you have a guy who's like a very well-known person in the cyberpunk lore called Johnny Silverhand in your brain. And he can control you because you have a lot of cybernetics, and he can like move your body, and you're seeing him everywhere, and he's doing shit, and he's influencing your conversation. And I'm pretty sure that at the end of the game, you are always going to die. But the choice is if you kill yourself or you let him just take your body over because he's just uploading himself into your mind. But then if you let him take you over, there's a thing of, does he like you as a person or does he not like you? And he can like give respect to the fact that you're like, you know, you've tried to help him and all this stuff or not. And I think that would be a cool place to play Solas.
That's cool.
Is like, are you being someone that Solas respects? Are you being kind to the Inquisitor if you romance the Inquisitor? Like, Solas asks you to say something to someone and that's the decision. It's like, no, I'm not going to say that because I don't like you. Or, sure, I'll tell this person this thing because you asked me to. Imagine the scene of Solas being in your mind and you're speaking to the Inquisitor and Solas is asking you to talk to them as an old friend or as a, like the person that he loves. and you deciding what you're like letting slip to this person, and how cool those scenes would be. I just think that that would be a fun way of using the same mechanics that they already have, but then adding the fact that the reason why you can jump a million foot in the air and do all these crazy big abilities is because you have the powers of this old elven god.
Yes. I thought it'd be cool. Yeah, no, that would be great.
So I thought about this at this time. There's a giant fucking dragon archdemon, which I thought was cool. However, it's a lot of Venatori know where you are, which is shown by the fact that Elgin, you can hear him be like, hey, go find this person. A lot of Venatori are like, oh, he's over here. But you can also see the archdemon dragon at this point as well. And he is just at the ritual site, still just kind of looking over half in the water. And I was thinking, why is the dragon not looking for us? It's an archdemon. We are very unprepared. If a giant archdemon dragon was trying to hunt you down because you let loose, it would be way more fun.
Yeah.
Also, what I was looking for this quest was a Wicked Eyes, Wicked Hearts, where you are in a cult and you're pretending to be part of the cult.
Oh, you're in disguise, go in undercover. I was like, I was really expecting a little bit more of a subterfuge,
but no, you just kind of watch them kill a Hala and it's nothing.
No. There's no... Harding
is like, oh, we don't have to watch this. And I was like, I want to watch this. What is going to happen? And it just kind of explodes. And then they're like, oh, disgusting. What evil people. And I'm like, all right, gang. It's not that big of a deal. It's one deer.
It's
but
a
you can't really...
Veilguard producer. Real Veilguard producer behavior over here.
Over here.
Deer.
Then I finished that mission. Saw Tasha's mother. I had a full dinner with her. I thought that was under average, to be honest. I don't like the fact that Tasha's whole storyline is them being trans. And instead of the fact that they can breathe fire, and we've not seen that from a Qunari before.
But if they just fucking decided to lean into the interesting bit, which is that you now have an out trans character in this game from a culture that does recognize that.
Yeah.
But they're not entirely immersed in it. That is cool. Like, they're not entirely immersed in the culture that they came from that would have been accepting of that, but would have had other problems to come with.
What's interesting is the quest. So I had the dinner with the mother, and then Tasha was like, I'm just never going to tell her. And I was like, don't then. Who gives a fuck? And then we had another scene where Tasha's mother came to the lighthouse. How are all these people getting to the lighthouse, by the way?
Because everybody has an Illuvian.
Everyone does have an Illuvian. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
You just pick one up at the Black Emporium.
Yeah. And there's one on every street corner nowadays.
The Black Emporium. That's a franchise now. We got a Black Emporium over here.
My Black Emporium.
There's that one four spot corner where you can see four Black Emporiums in one intersection. It's a real thing, everybody. You just got to go to Times Square. Don't worry about it.
I had another one where Tasha's mother came to the lighthouse, and Tasha's mother mentions, oh, we have a word for people like you, and it's this. And then Tasha got really annoyed, and I was like, I clearly don't know the context of that word, because I'm pretty sure that, because Tasha's mother keeps talking about the fact that they're Qunari, and it's like, yeah, in the Qun, you know, they're like, they're really dedicated to the Qun, but then also doesn't accept Tash being trans, so I don't really understand what the deal is with that, but whatever. Had a Davrin quest, which sucked. It was a picnic, and I was mad that he took me all the way out to the forest to do that. Harding romance quest, which I did actually think was interesting. Ooh, thing I thought was fun, now that I'm romancing Harding, I'm walking on a lot of conversations of people talking about the fact that we have romanced each other. Like, there was a conversation with Tash and Harding where Tash was like, hey, be good to Harding or I'm gonna kill you. And then Harding was like, it's early days, but you know, they've been very kind to me and all this. And it's like, I like this kind of talking about events.
I haven't gotten any of that yet, but that's fun.
I thought it was cool. And then there was one with Emmerich and Harding as well, where Harding was like, yeah, I keep kind of, because the thing is whenever you kiss Harding or do anything romantic, you like fully pass out and Harding kind of goes lyrium mad for a bit. And Emmerich is figuring it is like doing some tests and is like, oh, it's because whenever you're around Rook, you kind of get this huge lyrium flare up, which makes it dangerous for you to have these feelings. And I was like, that is super cool. Actually, I like that. I hope do it more. I did some of Lucanus's quest that we'll talk about next week. There was a weird boss fight that I did with a woman with like flayed skin. Did you do that fight?
Flayed she's like skin.
She's like, it might not be flayed skin. She's just in like a pool of blood. And it looks like when she comes out that she has flayed skin. Like all of her skin down is like off.
But it's
just blood. But I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool if she had
blood magic and she's just doing blood magic. Yeah.
And then okay, we'll talk about this now then. Then Ilario turns up and uses blood magic against Lucanus. And I was like, oh, so Ilario's a villain then. And he's obviously the person that did this because, you know, this lady was like, Lucanus was like, hey, tell me who betrayed us. And then Ilario turns up and then stabs this woman immediately and is like, oh, it's you then. Harding is having lyrium explosions that I thought was fun. I met the Inquisitor again.
Sure did.
What happened in your Inquisitor meeting?
I met the Inquisitor. Was it just talk?
Yeah.
We had a chat. He said a lot of things about the Inquisition that weren't true. Fun for me. I thought that was neat. Neato burrito.
Neato burrito.
And then he was kind of just like, well, good luck. We're the same. And I went, fuck no. Fuck no, we're not the same.
I had an interesting choice, which proves to me that this game is meant for soulless romancing in Inquisition. I had a choice whether or not my Inquisitor is going to attempt to reunite with Solas or is going to break off romantic contact. That I thought was weird that I was making this decision. I thought I should say things that should prompt the Inquisitor to do a thing rather than
a character. Fully not making the decision. We're not Rook.
We're not Rook.
We're not Rook. Rook is just another shitty NPC in this game.
And I know, and I hate it. The problem with this choice, because some people are going to be like, well, you're not playing the Inquisitor, so obviously you're not going to make that decision. The thing is, my Rook would say, no, kill Solas. Solas is an evil person. Kill him. He's the reason all this has started. Helwyn would not do that. And Helwyn would try and rekindle whatever they had before because Helwyn is very alone. So I, as Rook, said, you should reunite with Solas because that's what the Inquisitor would do. Not what Rook would do, but it's like it wouldn't.
I get it. I mean, yeah,
Helwyn
yeah.
wouldn't listen to Rook because Helwyn doesn't know who the fuck Rook is. Because
who is that guy?
Who is that guy? Nothing. I fought a dragon with Tarsh. That was pretty fun. I mean, it was fun because it was just the combat is my levity here.
It's starting to irritate me because I get it. I'm happy that it's interesting, but it's actually not interesting because they've sucked any narrative experience from combat. So
yeah,
combat is
I'm, combat.
I'm playing Magic the Gathering out there. I'm just fucking
all right. Let's.
I'm sorry. I'm just flipping cards and tapping them and making the numbers go up and down.
Yeah, it's also a little. It's frustrating that I've fought now four dragons and all of them have the same move set. Come on, let's mix it up, gang.
Oh, my God, yeah. One of my favorite parts of Inquisition is that all the dragons have, like, a unique layer action
stuff
and it's good
and cool shit. I met the butcher in Treviso. It turns out he was fine, actually. He was a good guy all along.
He was
kind of a good guy. I mean, he tests you to see if you're true to Treviso by killing himself. So he was clearly fairly a good guy. And he was being manipulated
like,
this whole time.
I'll give you the information you need just to, and I'll die doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. He blighted himself so that he could save everyone. And then we hit the point of no return. The gods, we found them. Morrigan's going to do something. And then I stopped playing.
Yep, same.
So there you go. We've caught
up. There, yeah. We did it.
Veilguard.
We did it. The Veilguard. I'm concerned about a couple things. I've been romancing the fuck out of Emmerich for hours and hours. We're at the end of Act Two. I've not had a
romance scene.
But the thing was that I was told that this was like, okay, Dragon Age with the most romance possible. Like nothing is happening.
Sure. Yeah.
And to be clear, I've hit the first of what I'm assuming is like two lock-ins, because I've hit the one where they're like, this doesn't lock in the romance, but you are explicitly telling Emmerich that you want to romance him.
Yeah.
So I've done that, and still, like, all our flirt options are just to say a sassy comment or whatever. Like, nothing is, there's no escalation happening. Nothing is a slow build. And which makes me think that, like, we're just gonna one day fuck and that's gonna be the end of the romance. Like, it's just gonna be like, also, I don't know if I should say this. I'm very tired. I have figured it out. I figured out what the fuck is going on, and it's bad and annoying, and I don't like it.
Say it. Call the shot. What's happening?
In my last, right before I went to go like initiate the point of no return, which I then realized was the point of no return, and I backed out. Right before that, we have a little.
We have a meeting, team meeting.
And this whole fucking time, I've been like, the use of Varric in this game is.
Is it that Varric is Solas that we think? Is that. What's yours? Because that's my theory.
No.
Oh.
Well, I guess.
I got too excited because I thought we had the same idea.
I guess I don't care about that so much. But I've been like, the use of Varric in this game is meaningless and nothing. He's narrating, but that doesn't mean anything to me. He's he's hired me, and I can go and talk to him once a fiscal quarter. I can make a comment. No, like, no one else is talking to him. He shows up to these fucking meetings, which seems like he's presumably fine. It looks like he's got a fucking broken leg. Not, like, it doesn't make sense. And then in that last meeting, there's a moment where there's a camera cut and you make a comment. And Varric died. Varric died. Scene one. Like, part one. Solas killed him. And Varric, the Varric that we're making space for. I need this to not be true, actually. I'm so, like, but it was so, the camera cut was so. It
was like on his face, right, for a while.
I was like, Varric used to say that. And I was just like, or maybe it wasn't even used to say that, but like, that's a thing Varric says. And then it pans on his face in a weird way. And I was like, fucking fuck, 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 fuck this game.
He's Bruce Willising us.
Because, no. If that turns out to be true, I will say my full feelings on it. The thing about it is that, like, oh my God, it was so blatant. I'll actually eat this sweater if it's not true.
That's your favorite sweater. Don't do that.
I know it is. And I just think that if that's it's Varric is dead and Rook is imagining Varric there because he can't cope or something, maybe.
That would be very funny. I would actually love it if that was true. If Varric was dead this whole time and no one has brought it up.
No one's brought him up.
That would be amazing.
I've met the Inquisitor twice.
Oh my God, that's why she didn't want to come to the lighthouse, because she's like, yeah, Varric's dead. Harding never brought it up. Harding's known Varric for a decade.
For a decade.
But
no
you're
one.
Taking it the hardest. You've known him for 6 months.
For 6 months. It's really, it's just you.
Oh my God, Bianca falling and breaking was a metaphor.
Yeah. Everybody.
For Varric.
No.
So when Bianca fell down the stairs and shattered, it was representative of Varric being shattered because he got stabbed with the Lyrium idol, which is blue now. So my theory.
And which I carry around so much.
Because you carry it around.
No, it can't be. It literally cannot be, because Varric tells you shit, so much shit about the Inquisition. And you knew him. You have met
my
him six
theory
months
is
ago.
That Varric is Solas. Solas is dressed up like Varric, having being powered through stabbing him through the Lyrial with the Lyrium idol, and is now just kind of teleported into his body.
That's better. I would like that better. I would like that better. Genuinely, that
yeah. Well, Varric did die, but Solas is kind of piloting his corpse,
which is now. Hey, that's a new plot point of this game, is that spirits can inhabit bodies. That would totally track. I'm
Spirit
into
of pride.
It. I'm All into right. it. Do I what's, think that's what's happening? Not necessarily, but
if I
want
if I call it,
to. It,
then everyone needs to subscribe to our Patreon and then apologize for this game being made. Apologize for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Was Solas's name, did it always mean pride in Elven?
Yes.
It always did. They've just mentioned it so many times this game that I'm like, is this a new plot point that I missed?
No, it wasn't really like, you know, it wasn't as ham-fisted in previous games, but
that's fine. I just wanted to confirm that it has always been that rather than, you know.
Yeah.
That's good. So what's your rating at the Veil Guard, do you think? Out of 10.
What's the lowest number? Our negative numbers. Our imaginary numbers on the table.
What's an imaginary number? I give it Squeven out of the 10.
I get, like, in mathematics, the...
Oh.
I didn't mean
not like
fantasy numbers.
Fake numbers.
So am giving this as a game, it seems nice. It seems nice. I feel like
I was speaking to another friend the other day who said that she bought it because everyone loves Dragon Age, so she was excited to play the new one, and then again had to put it down because it was so bad.
Yeah.
That's two friends who have never played a Dragon Age game who picked it up and was like, is this what Dragon Age is? And then put it down, and I had to be like, it's not. Play Origins.
Yep.
I've been buying a lot of copies of Dragon Age Origins for people.
Origins for people. Yeah. Which, careful, because Steam has officially dropped support for it as of, I think, today. It's gonna glitch even harder probably going forward.
Well, they were never updating it.
They weren't, but they did an update this morning, which like removed future update toggles from it. Like it's just this game is
cool.
A,
so EA is going full scorched earth evil.
Oh yeah,
on this.
Yeah. They're done with Dragon Age. Is what the thing is. Yeah.
Huge.
So
because if people don't play Origins, Dragon Age 2, or Inquisition, they're gonna think that it's always been like this. People will forget.
Yeah. I think this is just it's a rug pull. We're done with this series. I think this game is a I will give it a 3.
Mm.
I think mechanically interesting. It's beautiful to look at. They designed the cities very well.
It's occasionally beautiful to look at. I will actually, yes, they're pretty, but I think they're exceedingly like dry. There's not like I'm walking around Minrathus, but I'm not exploring Minrathus.
No, I'm not.
I'm walking around Treviso, but I'm not exploring Treviso. Like, no. I'm doing the, like, you know, I'm like ziplining between buildings and shit like that. Ziplines are
everywhere in the north. The south doesn't know how to fucking travel. They haven't figured it out yet. No one in Ferelden has figured out line. That we just needed to zip everywhere.
Yeah, you know that bit from I Think You Should Leave, which I know that you don't like, but it's the like I think you're only here for the zip line. It's,
yeah,
people are saying that to Dorian as he's ziplining around the place.
Yeah,
you're only here for the zip line.
Dorian and Maivaris, like, where are they? Where are they?
Where are they? Truly,
where are they? Like, they're like. Nothing is me. All right. I can't.
There's also, again, another thing that I liked. I like evil Emmerich. I like Emmerich's, like, evil old college friend who's back and doing evil shit.
She's really cool. I liked that. That was cool. Why is everything with my companions, like, the very first time that I meet that we hear about something is the day that we defeat it? Like,
she's not defeated. She's run away for me. You might have defeated her. She is yet to be caught.
Well,
you don't beat her. She leaves. You're in Blackthorn Manor. And you do her little.
But then you keep going.
No, I didn't get that option. I just like she. It turns out the Hand of Fate was her hand, and then she just kind of teleported away.
But then after that, there's more.
No, I didn't get that. That
Did
must
you
be
just leave?
Yeah, because Emmerich was like, "Are you ready to leave?" And I said, "Yep."
Oh, maybe there's.
I mean, we're at the point of no return, which means that everyone is going to wrap up now.
Yeah.
Probably because you've been speaking to Emmerich and you have high enough approval, you got on to hear the last section of his story, and I have yet to get there.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I just felt like that was interesting, but it just, like almost everything that I'm encountering, everything feels like it's coming out of nowhere. Like,
oh my God.
What?
I did. I went to the fighting pit, Isabel's fighting pit, and I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah.
Because
what do you mean
she's a commentator now? Like, that's all she does. And it's like, hey, by the way, we have a bunch of Venatori in the back. And it's like, kill them then. Why? Why are you holding a bunch of Venatori? Hey, do you guys know we have a bunch of Darkspawn that we're just kind of holding? And you know what would be a crazy cool storyline? Hey, we have a bunch of Darkspawn that we have people fight for our entertainment. That's crazy.
That would be
You
cool.
imagine the storyline of being like, yeah, you can't do that. That there's a... What do you mean you're just openly blighting people?
And
so that
would
you...
be Isabella, too. Isabella would be like, what do you mean? It's fun.
What do you mean? It's Darkspawn.
It brings gold in here.
The blight doesn't exist anymore. It's fine. This isn't a real blight. The real blight happened, the fifth blight, years ago. It's just whatever. We're just giving people, they're drinking the juice, turning Darkspawn, and then we're fighting them. And we're only doing it to criminals, so it doesn't even matter. And it's like, damn. That's an Isabella thing.
That's an Isabella. And that's a thing that we're like, it'll be interesting. What if you could like be like, Isabella? No. You have to change. And like, if, oh God, whatever. Whatever.
I think there should have been a few more choices at the beginning of the game, like to add in world state. Because there are just things that I think would do matter in.
Yeah.
I think they should have asked, they should have asked four additional questions. What happened to the Grey Warden? Who did they romance? What happened to Hawk? Who did they romance? And then you can say, what happened to the Inquisitor? Who did they romance? Because if the Grey Warden survived, and it doesn't matter who they romance, if the Grey Warden survived, you say the reason why Grey Wardens don't take the joining or anything seriously is because the blight has been cured. The Grey Warden cured it. They found a way to fix it. And now that's why everyone's like, Grey Wardens are just heroes. Because there's no stakes in it anymore.
Why the fuck is that guy still alive? Yeah.
Yeah. It's important to know who the Grey Warden romanced, because if the Grey Warden romanced Morrigan, if the Grey Warden lives, then it's like, yeah, but who, like, did they live because they romanced Morrigan? And then you have a brief mention of Kieran. I was also walking around the Veiljumpers camp, which I now have at like full love. They love me very much. And the only reason I go to Treviso, I bought all of their valuable items. I went to the Veiljumpers and just gave them a bunch of fish, which was very fun because when you meet the butcher runs away and you have to chase him through the market, but you can still buy things in the market. So I briefly stopped chasing the butcher to buy like baskets of fish. And then I went to the Veiljumper and I sold them all the fish. But I did that because they had an armor set that I wanted, which is the only reason I did that. But as I was walking around the Veiljumper camp, they were like, hey, so what do you think of that woman, Morrigan? And they were talking, but they weren't saying anything. They were just like, yeah, she's kind of nice, I guess. And I was like, ooh, incorrect. Morrigan is kind and not nice. That's kind
she's
of her whole thing.
Woman.
Yeah, she'll help, but she'll help because the world's ending, not because she gives a fuck.
And also because she has some goal as well.
Also, tell you what, I'm adding an additional choice. Did Morrigan walk into the pool is so integral to that, because does she have part of Mithal in her or all of this old elven knowledge? Because that changes.
Or does the Inquisitor, who we meet,
have all of that knowledge? Because that's a pretty fucking huge decision. And especially important considering that we're fighting a bunch of old elven gods, is who has the brain of all these old elves? That's pretty integral.
I don't care.
The reason why it's important what Hawk did is because it not only changes Varric's disposition, but also if you're meeting Isabella and you romanced Isabella, she wouldn't be doing this. She just wouldn't be in Ravain doing all this stuff. She'd be doing something else. And she wouldn't have turned up. Or you can, you know, have some fun conversation.
Imagine a Hawk that romanced Isabella and didn't die or go into the Fade. Is just like, I guess my fucking wife is gone because she joined the circus.
A worse possibility is that Hawk is in Ravain. Isabella is doing her weekly shift at the fighting pits, but Hawk is just hanging out. The champion of Kirkwall is just knocking around somewhere, and you can't go speak to them to say, hey, what's up? What's up with you? Yeah. Do you want to come help us kill a god?
Yeah.
I bring up my point of I don't think the lighthouse should have been the HQ.
Yeah. I liked the design of it. I was very excited by the design of it at first, but it just nothing about it grows to feel like a home base, and I think it's
so barren is the big problem with it. It's very barren. Also, there's been some people who are saying that we're not meeting this game where it is, and I would like to say yes, we are.
Oh, we are.
We are meeting the game. Yeah, this is a new game. Yes, they had 10 years. Yes, it was through development hell for a lot of it. It is still pretty dog shit. Like in most ways, and a thing which we in the Discord server, which I thought was really interesting, is there was a poll of what's your favorite Dragon Age game. Dragon Age 2 came out on top. Dragon Age 2 coming out on top proves I would use this in a scientific study. It does not fucking matter if your mechanics are completely dog shit and don't work. If your story and writing holds up, people will love
it. To this community, to the Dragon Age community, absolutely.
And that's the thing. It's like the Veilguard doesn't have good, interesting writing on its own. If we meet it where it is, everyone is a stupid child baby and you are playing the most useless, boring fucking character I have ever played. Here's the thing. I, at some point on this show, would like both of us to play Baldur's Gate 3, which
I would
has
love that, actually.
Things that I... It's a thing that I pretty much have to do. But it's something that I personally have a problem with is I think that the protagonist of BG3 is exceedingly weak unless you do what I consider the canon run, which is the Dark Urge. I've heard
other people say kind of a similar thing.
Which is like the canon run... Which is a thing which, when we play Baldur's Gate 3, I'm going to say we are playing the Dark Urge because that's the story of Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Even then, you get to ask questions, make quips, make decisions. The companions are fucking brilliant. My lizard is called Lazelle because I think Lazelle is one of the best written characters in anything.
Yeah, she's good.
The thing is, it's also the decisions are crazy in Baldur's Gate 3. You can
there's
have
a lot of impact.
Shadowheart die. You can have no companions because you kill them all. Like, that's the level of decision making you can make in that game, which is the reason people love their Tavs. It's the reason people love Baldur's Gate 3. In this, your rook does nothing and is no one. Because you just simply can't do it. You just can't be anyone, and the game sucks and is dreadful. We have 1 week left.
We got 1 week left.
What's really upsetting is we have 1 week of the Dragon Age games left, and then we are not done with Dragon Age.
No.
Because on our Patreon, we have talked about that we're going to start doing the book clubs of the books. We're going to actually do book clubs of the Dragon Age books. We don't know where we're starting. We don't know how long this is going to take. We have a little while. And then we're going to do the comics and all that stuff. And then we're going to go into a new game series on this main thing.
Yes, we are.
We're not going to say what the game series is, no. But
if you guess.
You can guess. Next week is our last Veilguard episode. We're doing till completion.
Yeah.
Week after that, we are going to have a fun wrap-up episode where we just talk about Dragon Age. Just as a whole, we're going to ask each other some questions, which I'm kind of excited about. What characters do you wish came back? What storylines did you wish were touched upon? All this stuff. Admittedly, I was going to do my what is your pitch for what this game should have been and what you could have done. And that's what I was going to be like. I actually think you should have had Solas in your soul. And that was kind of the point, because this whole game is about spirits being in people's bodies. And I think Solas being in you would have been really cool. I think
it would be cool.
Having a Johnny Silverhand thing. But I was going to talk about that in our little wrap up. But we're going to have a wrap up. And then we're going to the week after we're doing our.
Yeah.
New series. We're still going to be called Dorkspawn because the name is just too good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Speaking of, there is new Patreon content up. There is we spent 3 hours talking about how much we love the Dragon Age 2 characters.
Oh my God, I love them.
And that is on the Patreon now. I am editing because we passed our $100 goal. I am at the minute polishing up a video that I've just now finally watched from November when we were drunk at 2:30 a.m. After
the unprepared casters filming trip, which if anyone here doesn't know, we both do a lot of tabletop role-playing game content, and we have also done a lot with a group called Unprepared Casters, and we did a week-long film in person of a bunch of different games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all
got drunk, very drunk every night, and then woke up at 8 a.m. to film
all day. So this was a 2 a.m. after filming, and it is 7 minutes long and ends with Nick Meyer entering the room and being like, oh, I have a story about that, but you have to turn the camera off.
Also, I would like to say it's very kind of you saying Nick enters, whereas it was actually me and you talking, Grace behind me, Millie next to me, Nick there, and I think Josie was also there.
I think so. Yeah, everybody
talking,
was in.
Talking around us as we secretly recorded a Talksport episode whilst everyone was having separate conversations with each other. And then Nick said, you have
but
to turn the
Nick
camera off.
But then entered our conversation.
There we go.
It's fun. So I'm gonna release that. But it is really appreciated to everybody that's joined us on Patreon. And I am so sorry. I keep either having to do this outside the episode or in the text. But I'm actually remembering this week a special thank you to Caroline, Callum, Meadow, Parker, and Rodrigo for being our like top supporters on Patreon. Huge deal, actually.
Also, with the Patreon, it's not only Dorkspawn stuff. We also do tabletop role-playing game things. We have our first show, which is Frequencies, which is on there, which is a horror show with where we are both in it. And that's very good if you like horror and you want to feel horror about being creative and making things. That's on there. There's going to be other shows that we're going to be making and putting on there. Yeah, but it helps support us, and it's so fun. And if you don't have the money for Patreon, literally talking about us online, tweeting at us to talk about shit, or joining the Discord to chat is great. Our Discord is super active.
The Discord is great.
If you want to have debates about Dragon Age, that's what we're doing in there.
Yeah, it's the best.
We are
the best
pretty
people
solidly
in the world.
Consistently debating about
it's
the Veilguard and then Dragon Age as a whole
Dragon
and what we
Age
like
lore
and dislike
whole,
about it.
Oh my god, it's been amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really very, very good.
But I have to go to bed. So
yeah.
Where Robin, where do you think Solas is?
He's right behind me, isn't he? It's mean. It's a cruel sign off, but it is fun.
This game was mean to me.
It was. It bullied you actively. It pushed you in a locker.
Pushed me to the edge.